I appreciate the privilege to speak. I'm kind of rusty. I haven't done this much for the last 14 years, and you get to a point where I don't have the courage or the zeal, or I have the zeal, but I don't have the courage that I once had, and I pray about that. I'm not a public speaker, but I love the Word of God, and that's the only reason that I can stand here. Otherwise, my knees would be shaking, and I'd be in the back. I want to talk tonight about good and faithful servants, Matthew 25. You know, you hear a lot about, a lot of people have a misconception about good people. You've heard people, even in the church sometimes, say all good people are going to heaven. Some people, a lot of people believe that. Some people in the church believe that. What do you think about that? If someone asked you, won't all good people go to heaven, what would you say? All good people? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and verse 12. Let's start with verse 12. The Bible answers that for us. You know, some people think they'll live a good life and that they're going to go to heaven by living a good life. If that were so, did Jesus need to come and die for our sins? If so, why did he? If some could get to heaven on their own merits because of their goodness, their own goodness, why did Jesus come and die? Romans 3, verse 23 tells us all have sinned, every one of us. A friend of mine who was in the Marines, his wife once, they were Catholics, and she said, well, everybody sinned but God and Mary. You know, so, well, the Bible says all sinned. Mary was a woman. Mary was a human. Jesus even referred to her as woman once. If she were over him, he would never have said that. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everybody needs salvation. We need salvation. All good people, the Bible tells us, look at Romans 3, verse 12. Paul wrote these words, there's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous, verse 10. No, not one. How will anyone get to heaven? And if you meet someone, you should ask them, do you think all good people will go to heaven? More than likely, they'll say yes. And they need to realize nobody's going to go to heaven by living a good life because no one can do it. Jesus came, and if you remember, when he went to the cross, before he went to the cross, he asked, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but thy will be done. Did Jesus go to the cross? He did. He went to the cross because he had to. He didn't want to, but he did what he had to do. He went to the cross to die for our sins because all have sinned. Romans 3, verse 23. The wages of sin are death. Romans 6, verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life. We don't have to have, we don't have to earn the wages of sin by being sinners and living in sin. But we need to understand that good people need to realize we might have good neighbors, but in the sight of God, we look at Matthew 25, and the Bible will tell us who's good. And the Bible will tell us also who's wicked. Let me turn to 25 here. Matthew 25, we know this chapter is powerful and it's beautiful. If I can get there. Matthew 25, notice here the parable of the talents. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man going into a far country. Jesus went into heaven, a far country, and he would return after a long time, it says. In the meantime, he gave his servants talents. Notice in this, everyone, there's three different examples here. One man was given five talents, one was given two, one was given one. And two used their talents, and Jesus said, well done. Notice what he says, thou good and faithful servant. There's your good person right there, is a good and faithful servant of the Lord. Verse 21, the man with five talents, he used all five talents and he gained five. I think that tells us that he used all his talents. And to use your talents, you'd have to recognize those talents. Notice in verse 23, the second man who had two talents, he used both talents and he gained two more. And Jesus said in verse 23, his Lord said unto him in the parable, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There's a good person right there, a good and faithful servant. We might ask ourselves, are we good and faithful servants? And we'll look at that more in just a minute. I know that I need improvement in my life to be a better and faithful servant, a good and faithful servant. As far as evangelism goes, I can improve in that area. But notice the one talent man. Notice here, the Lord comes to him in verse 24. It says, "Then he who had received one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewn. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.'" He didn't use his talent. He was afraid. He was fearful. He left it there and it gained nothing. It gained nothing. Notice what the Lord says in verse 26. "Thou wicked and slothful or lazy servant." If we're not using our talents, we are going to be regarded as slothful servants also. Lazy servant. We need to be using our talents. And again, we need to recognize those talents. Notice in the Great Commission that Jesus gave in Matthew 26, or I'm sorry, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, when he told the apostles, "Go into all the world and baptize the nations, baptizing them, teach the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Notice what else he said, "teaching them whatsoever things I have commanded you." He had just commanded them to go take the gospel. And as good and faithful servants, that's what we need to do, take the gospel. We need to know what the gospel is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Just these few verses are powerful. 1 Corinthians 15. Do you know what the gospel is? We need to obey the gospel to be saved. We need to teach the gospel. And it's funny, most people don't really ask, what is the gospel? Paul tells us right here. Notice what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul wrote, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Notice so much is said there. He tells us about the gospel. The gospel is something we must preach. And he'll tell us what that is in just a minute. But notice the things about the gospel. It's something that needs to be received. It's something that you need, that you stand in. You stand in the gospel. If we leave the gospel, then we fall. Stand or fall. We stand in the gospel and God's graces, or we fall from grace. And notice verse 2, "by which also you are saved." The gospel saves souls. People need to hear the gospel to know what God wants, to be right with God. And we need to take that message to them, because people don't know. People think they're going to heaven by living a good life. The Bible says there's none good. Nobody's going to go to heaven by living a good life. And you would be surprised how many people believe that. Notice verses 3 through 5. He tells us what the gospel is. What do we preach when we go preach or teach the gospel? Notice he tells us here, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Paul received the gospel. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day from the Scriptures." That's what the gospel is. We need to let people know Jesus came into this world to suffer and die for our sins, because we're not good enough. We can't direct our own steps. Jeremiah, is it 10 verse 23? "It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps." We can't do it. And if you look at the religious world, you know that's true. There is so much confusion out there. Jesus built his church in A.D. 33. I believe that's correct. A.D. 33. The Catholic Church came along in 1600 A.D. Years after the prophecy, years after the Lord's Church, the Protestant denominations came out of that. But notice in Acts 2, the Lord added the saved to his church. There was only one church in his day, the one he built, the one he suffered for and died for, and that's his people, which are you and me, members of the church. Jesus suffered and died for our sins. He died for the good and faithful, and we need to be faithful unto him. So we need to take the gospel and be able to teach it. And friends, if you don't feel like you can do personal work, if you don't feel like you can knock doors or teach the gospel, just teach Acts chapter 2. That says it all. They were told what to do, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We're told in Acts 2 verse 41, notice the passage, then they that gladly received his word, they received the gospel. They received his word and were baptized. How did they receive it? By faith and obedience. And Acts 2 verse 41 and 47 says they were also saved. The Lord added the saved to his church. Which church was that? His church. The one he built, the one that began in Acts 2. There were no other churches. And the Lord is not going to add men to denominations that he did not build. Is he? We know he's not. Acts 2. And the third point, as I mentioned, we need to do probably more personal evangelism than what we do. You know what you need to do. I know what I need to do. We need to learn how to talk to people. And one good way, as Brother Mike pointed out tonight, is do good. Do good. I think it's been said, to have friends, you need to be friendly. Okay? Can't scowl. And so, anyway, teach the gospel, Matthew 28, 18 through 19, Mark 16, 15 and 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We take the gospel to them and tell them, this is a simple plan of salvation. They need to hear this. Most people don't know this. Some people don't believe that. But you ask them this, do you believe Jesus? They believe in Jesus. Do they believe what Jesus said? How can you call yourself a believer if you don't believe what he said? John 12, verse 48. Notice, if we reject the word of Christ, we're rejecting Christ. John 12, 48 is a powerful passage. Reject his word, how can you receive Christ or the gospel? If you're with us tonight and you need to obey the gospel, you've never named the name of Christ, you're ready to repent of your sins, to confess the name of Christ before men, as the Ethiopian eunuch did. He was glad to be baptized. He was taught scriptures on the road. And obviously baptism was taught because he asked, there's water, what hinders me from being baptized? He was ready to be baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. And Philip the evangelist said, well, if you may, if... I went blank. You will if you believe with all your heart. If you believe with all your heart. And that Romans 6:17 tells us we must obey from the heart. You can go through the motions. You can go to church all your life. You can go to the Lord's church all your life. But if you don't come with the heart, do you think God accepts that? Really, think about it. If you're with us tonight, you need to obey the gospel. If you need to ask for prayers, if we can help you in any way, let us know as we stand and as we sing.